Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Genesis, chapter 49. We'll read verse 24. Genesis 49, verse 24. And his, but his, that would be Joseph, bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd the stone of Israel. The 49th chapter is the record of God or Jacob blessing his sons. What we read here in our text is concerns Joseph. In verse 22, we see there's mention of the fruitfulness of Joseph. And in verse 23, there's the mention of the enemies of Joseph, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And in verse 24, there's the overcoming strength of Joseph. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. And this came about by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. So Joseph's strength, Joseph's greatness, his victories, his life was because of the mighty God of Jacob. All the blessings of Joseph can be traced to the mighty God of Jacob. Now the reason that we read this verse for our text is that it is the first place in the Word of God that we find the name and title, the God of Jacob. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Consider, first of all, this name, this title. It occurs 15 times in the Old Testament, 5 times in the New Testament. So that's 20 times, the God of Jacob. 3 times we read the mighty God of Jacob. So that is 23 times. We read of the God of Jacob. It is truly a wonderful name, the God of Jacob. It is a name that ought to cause us to be overcome with amazement, the God of Jacob. It is a name that ought to humble us greatly, the God of Jacob. It is a name that ought to fill us with hope, God of Jacob. It is a name that ought to greatly encourage us. The name is used in several ways. It is used in relation to his defense of us. In Psalm 20 and verse 1, we read, "The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee." The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. We see also it is used in relation to a refuge. Psalm 46, verse 7 and verse 11. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That is, the God of Jacob is our shelter. He is a place of availability. He is a place of access. It is used in relation to help. Psalm 146 and verse 5, we read, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help," or for his aid and support. Each of those words, defend, refuge, and help, carry the implication of a danger, of a threat, of a need. And it is the God of Jacob that is sufficient for these things. So this name, this title, the God of Jacob, it is used in connection with other names or titles of God. In Psalm 46, verses 7 and 11, "The Lord, or Jehovah of hosts, is with us. The God, the Elohim of Jacob, is our refuge." The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The name or title, the Lord of hosts, declares that he's self-existent. Lord, he's Jehovah. He's the settled one. He's the immutable one. As such, he reigns. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord over all the stellar hosts, all the animal hosts, all the angelic hosts, all the demonic hosts, all the human hosts. He is the sovereign one, reigning supreme, with absolute authority, with absolute control. The Lord of hosts is a name or title that reveals that he presides and he prevails over all things. It declares that he is king, declares that there is nothing beyond the dominion. There is nothing beyond the control of God. There is nothing outside of his jurisdiction. When we read the words, "the Lord of hosts," those words do not shock us. Because if he's Lord, he must be the Lord of hosts. If he's not the Lord of hosts, if he doesn't have dominion, then he's not God. He cannot be Lord if he's not the Lord of hosts. Those who fight and deny the truth of the absolute dominion or sovereignty of God, whether they realize it or not, they deny God. They deny God. He is the Lord of hosts. That is a very logical title, the Lord of hosts. It is an unsurprising statement. The Lord of hosts. But what follows is the God of Jacob. Now that's astonishing. The God of Jacob. And I believe the order is significant. The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. The order adds to the wonder of the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts, the one who presides and prevails over all, is the God of Jacob. And the God of Jacob is the Lord of hosts. But think upon that name, the God of Jacob. Three words, well, four if you count thee, God of Jacob. The word God here is the Hebrew word Elohim. It emphasizes his strength. It emphasizes his faithfulness. It is a declaration that he is the strong and faithful one. It conveys the idea that he is able, that he is loyal, that he is constant, that he is true, that he is reliable. He is the God of. He is the God of. Of course, is a preposition indicating on the part of. God is on the part of or in respect to. It is a word that indicates relationship. He is the God of Jacob. That is, He is the strong and faithful one on the part of Jacob. He is the strong and faithful one with respect to Jacob. He is the strong and faithful one in relation to Jacob. So the God of Jacob is a name that reveals God's relationship with Jacob. Now that God would have a relationship with Jacob is amazing, is astonishing. The God of Jacob speaks of God in a positive relationship with Jacob. What an amazing statement. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Consider Jacob. Jacob was a user. He used others for his own gain. Jacob was a usurper. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a selfish individual. Oh, the wonder of that name, the God of Jacob. Jacob was a conniver. Jacob was a schemer. Jacob was a pretender. Jacob was one who insisted upon his own way. And he was a resister of God's way. Jacob is always working the angles for his own benefit. Oh, the wonder of that name, the God of Jacob. Jacob was a despicable person. He was a liar. He was a cheat. If you were to meet Jacob, you probably would not like Jacob. Jacob is not a likable person. And in light of such, we read the God of Jacob. That's an amazing statement. It's an amazing title. Has the God of Jacob, God came to Jacob. God came to Jacob in favor. God dealt with Jacob. God also dwelt with Jacob. God revealed Himself to Jacob. So the great God of heaven and earth is the God of Jacob. The strong and faithful one for the weak. The strong and faithful one for the difficult temperament. You want to talk about a difficult temperament? Look at Jacob. Look at Jacob. You want to talk about a warped personality? Look at Jacob. And he is the God of Jacob. He is the God of Jacob. And God begins with Jacob as Jacob. He does not begin with Jacob as Israel. He begins with Jacob as Jacob. The God of Jacob begins with people where others give up. That's where God begins. The God of Jacob. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful title. The God of Jacob. There are people that have been given up on. God begins there. He doesn't give up. That's where He begins. Why? He is the God of Jacob. Therefore, it is a title of hope. It's a title of great encouragement. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, we are in the same plight of Jacob. Just as it was with Jacob, sin has left its mark upon our character. Sin has left its mark upon everything about us. You don't have to be around anybody for too long to realize sin has left its mark. But that's where the God of Jacob comes in. Psalm 114 and verse 7, we read of the presence of the God of Jacob. And what a marvelous and wonderful presence it is. The God of Jacob. So what does this name mean? Who is this God of Jacob? What does it declare about God? Names and titles are used to clarify identity. And the names and titles that are given to God, and there are many, are no different. They are meant to reveal God. They are meant to highlight different aspects of God's nature, of God's character, of God's work. The names and titles of God describe what God is. They describe who God is. They describe His relation to things and people. There's a wealth of priceless information in the names and titles of God. They declare His distinctiveness. His names and titles give us glimpses of who and what He is. His names and titles are like windows through which we see God. They paint a glorious picture of the Lord. His names and titles signify Himself. It's again who He is. We read in Nehemiah 9 and verse 5 of His glorious name. Speaking, of course, that His name is illustrious. All of His names are illustrious. They are exalted in excellence and splendor. Psalm 8, verse 1, we read of His excellent name. Speaking of the virtue of who He is. Psalm 66, 2, we read of the honor of His name. Speaks of His dignity. Psalm 103, verse 1, Psalm 145, 21, we read of His holy name. What that means is it just shows that He's set apart from all others. There's no one like Him. Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and reverend is His name. Speaking of the worthiness of His character. And in Jeremiah 10 and verse 6, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great and thy name is great. That speaks of the extensiveness of His character. But be sure of this. God is too big for a single name. There is no name that fully describes God. And there are not enough names to fully describe His person, His majesty. And be sure of this, that every single name and title that we read of God is beyond our comprehension. There's more to it than we know. To really appreciate the words, the God of Jacob, it's imperative that we know who God is, His character. And it is imperative that we do not lose sight of who and what Jacob is as well. So who is the God of Jacob? What does that reveal about His character? The God of Jacob is the God of unconditional love. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, we read the words, "Yet I loved Jacob. Yet I loved Jacob." That is referred to in Romans 9, verse 13. Jacob have I loved. Yet have I loved Jacob. Jacob have I loved. That is an incomprehensible statement. Those are mind-boggling words. But notice there in Malachi 1, in verse 2, it is not merely, "I love Jacob." It says, "Yet I love Jacob." Yet I love Jacob. The word "yet," of course, is an adverb defining the verb "loved." It conveys the idea of nevertheless, or in spite of. So what God is saying there in Malachi 1 verse 2 is, in spite of who and what Jacob is, and despite what Jacob deserves, I love him. The God of Jacob is a God of amazing love. It is a love in spite of the sins, the rebellions, the enmity, the contending, the defiance, the defilement, the shame, the unworthiness, and the guilt of the one loved, the God of Jacob. Speaks of a love for the unlovable. Jacob is unlovable. But yet God loved him. It is through this window, the God of Jacob, that we begin to understand the characteristics of God's love. God's love for me. God's love for you. It is through the window of the God of Jacob, and we see a love that is unique. An absolutely unprecedented love. Don't compare God's love to a love of a mother or father. Don't do that. You blaspheme God. You bring God's love down to a human level. You degrade it. This is a love that is unprecedented. It is a love that is incomprehensible. Everything about it is extraordinary. Everything about it is remarkable. Everything about it is unparalleled. Yet, I love Jacob. In spite of who Jacob is, I love him. Jacob have I loved. This is no ordinary love. And the love that God has for me is no ordinary love. Through the window of the God of Jacob, we see a love that is particular. People like to view God's love in a general way. God loves all His people. Yes, that's so. But God's love is particular for each individual. It is a particular love. It is a selective love. By that we simply mean God chose to love Jacob. It is an entirely committed love. The God of Jacob is a God totally committed to Jacob. To Jacob. Through the window of the God of Jacob, we see a love that is forever. It's perpetual. It is undying. It's timeless. We see a love that is immutable, forever the same, never changes. It's a love that is not turned away. It's a love that is not changed due to who and what Jacob is. It's not turned away from Jacob. Most people would turn away from Jacob. He's not a likable individual. But this is a love that is not turned away by Jacob. Through the window of the God of Jacob, we see a love that is unconditional. It's got to be. It's totally unmerited. It's totally undeserved. The truth is, God's love for any of us, there is no cause for it outside of God Himself. God loves me, God loves you because He chose to do so, because He wanted to, not because of anything in you and I. He is the God of Jacob. It is an infinite love. It is a love that is extensive. It cannot be measured. Paul spoke of the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of God's love. And it's immeasurable. Whichever direction you want to go, His love is immeasurable. It's a love that's invincible. It's a love that is indestructible. It's a love that's unconquerable. We cannot be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, we read in Romans 8. So through the window of the God of Jacob, we see a love that is of great significance, of great consequence. The God of Jacob. Through that window, we see the beauty, the amazingness, the magnificence, the glory of God's love. You say, well, what does the God of Jacob have to do with me? Glad you asked. You and I were born Jacob. We were born Jacob. We came out of the womb Jacob. I don't care how cute you were, you came out of the womb Jacob. Glory to God. He whom the heavens cannot contain, the eternal, immutable, omnipotent, holy, pure, impeccable God loves this Jacob. That's a unique love. That's no ordinary love. He loves this Jacob with a love that is particular and selective, entirely committed, invincible, unconquerable love. So the God of Jacob is a God of unconditional love. The God of Jacob, secondly, is the God of unconditional election. We read in Isaiah 41 and verse 8 that God chose Jacob. God chose Jacob. We hear God say there, "Thou Israel art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." He says, "I have selected Jacob. I have picked out Jacob. I have chosen and picked Jacob to show favor to." Now notice there in Isaiah 41:8, "Thou Israel." That's who God made Jacob to be. "Thou Israel art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." Israel is not the object of choice. Jacob is the object of choice. Jacob is the object of favor. So all of these people who say, "God chose me because He saw that I would believe. He saw what I would become." No! God chose Jacob. He chose Jacob. Sinful Jacob. The liar, the cheat, the conniver, the user. God chose Jacob. Not Israel, what Jacob would become by God's grace. But He chose Jacob. The God of Jacob is the one who singles out, and that's what you do if you choose something. You single out. The God of Jacob is the one who singles out the most unlikely and unworthy objects to be fashioned into vessels of glory. That's the God of Jacob. Thank God that He is the God of Jacob, the God of unconditional love and election. God, before the foundation of the world, chose this Jacob. Chose this Jacob in spite of this Jacob. The God of Jacob, thirdly, is a God of amazing grace. The God of Jacob has to be greater than the sin of Jacob. Grace greater than the sin of Jacob. Grace greater than the filth and the defilement and the pollution of Jacob. It is grace greater than the bondage and the ignorance and the blindness and the rebellion and the irreverence and the bankruptcy and the hopelessness of Jacob. The God of Jacob. This is grace greater than the power of the sin of Jacob. Grace greater than the extent of the sin of Jacob. Think of the extent of your sin. Every sin you've ever committed, they're innumerable. And the God of Jacob is greater than the extent of our sin. You think of what one single sin deserves by the hand of a holy, righteous God. And the God of Jacob is greater than what a single one of my sins deserves, let alone the mountain of sins. Thank God He's the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is the God of abundant mercy. In Isaiah 41 and verse 9, "I have chosen thee, speaking of Jacob, and have not cast thee away. That's the and have not cast thee away is the other side of the coin. I have chosen thee. I have chosen thee and have not cast thee away. I have chosen not to cast thee away. Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. As Jacob, I deserve to be cast away from God. But the God of Jacob says, I have not cast thee away. Again, Jacob is a user, he's a usurper, he's a deceiver, he's a selfish individual. He's a conniver, he's a schemer, he's a pretender, sits on his own way, a resister of God's way, always working the angles for his own benefits. He is a despicable person, a liar, a cheat, and you would expect that a holy, righteous, and just God would look at Jacob with utter disgust and cast him away. But not the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob says, I have chosen thee. In spite of who you are, I have chosen you. And in spite of what you deserve, I have not cast thee away. God has not cast away this Jacob. He's not going to. That's abundant mercy. The God of Jacob is a God of patience and compassion. Again, when you consider the person of Jacob, a life marked by cunning and deception, in the very name the God of Jacob is a declaration of God's patience with Jacob. Again, I've said many times, to me, the most remarkable attribute of God is the patience of God. It just amazes me. When I look at my own impatience, and I look at the impatience of others, and how easily people cast others off. And I consider God's patience with each and every one of us. It's absolutely amazing. The God of Jacob is a God of patience. You follow Jacob's life. He's always doing the same thing. God bless, he turns around, there he is again, plotting, planning, trying to work the angles. He's a conniver. God's so patient with Jacob. The God of Jacob is a God of transforming power. The God of Jacob appeared to Jacob. Genesis 32. Jacob, the user, the usurper, the deceiver, the conniver, the pretentious, selfish one, always insisting on his own way. God appears to God, the God of Jacob appears to him and transforms him into Israel. The God of Jacob, he's the one who meets the sinner to bless him. He's the one that meets the sinner to bless him. Don't be so hypocritical. You pray, oh Lord, destroy him. God, let him have it. Well, if you need to pray the same for yourself then as well. Why don't we pray, oh God of Jacob? Come to them. Transform their lives. like you transformed ours. The God of Jacob. People say, oh, if I was God, well, you're not, and I'm glad you're not. I would just wipe them out. Well, aren't you glad God didn't do that to you? The God of Jacob meets the sinner to bless him. The God of Jacob goes to great lengths to mold the sinner and to make something useful of him. Turn Jacob into Israel. The God of Jacob, he's the one who can bring the sinner to the end of his or her resources into a position of surrender. The God of Jacob is the one who can transform the sinner and give them new beginnings. Aren't you glad that God believes in starting over? That's the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. He gives new beginnings. The God of Jacob is the one who can overhaul a life. He's the one who can transform a life. He is a God of transforming power. And again, the God of Jacob begins with us as Jacob. For all these individuals that say, I want to be saved, but I got to get better first. No, you don't understand the God of Jacob. He begins with who you are. He begins with your unworthiness. He begins with your filth. He begins with us as Jacob. God didn't come to me and say, you get better and I'll do such and such. No, he dealt with me as Jacob. The God of Jacob begins where we are. For us that are saved, again, we were born Jacob. We came out of the womb, Jacob. Degenerate, deceitful, unrighteous, ungodly, wicked, filthy, vile, unprofitable, shameful, estranged from God. But the God of Jacob loved us in spite of who we were. And He chose to be gracious and merciful to us in spite of who we were. And the God of Jacob came to where we were, came to our place of filth, came to our place of imprisonment, our place of darkness, came to our place of ruin, and by a touch, the God of Jacob, we were transformed by just a touch from the God of Jacob. And we were taken into the realm of spiritual life. And there was reconciliation. There's so much hate today. Churches are filled with hate. Satan's greatest tool, Facebook, feeds it every day. Feeds it. Hate. People need to get a different view of the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Not only is the world filled with hate, people love to hate. Why else would they constantly look at things that cause them to hate? Because they like to hate. The God of Jacob brings us into a place of nearness to God. Well, I'll never speak to that person again. I'm deleting them. The God of Jacob doesn't cast me away. There's something horrible about a people that weren't cast away to cast away others. The God of Jacob brings us into the realm of acceptance with God and all the blessings of salvation. through Jacob, through the God of Jacob, we were not cast away. So you see, the God of Jacob is the unworthy, is suitable to the unworthy. You say, I feel so unworthy of God's love. You ought to. You are unworthy of God's love. God help you if you ever feel worthy of the love of God. We are unworthy. But the God of Jacob is suitable to the unworthy. The God of Jacob, there's hope. There's hope. You can look at who you think is the worst sinner you've ever seen. And I want to tell you, because of the God of Jacob, there's hope. There's hope. We ought to rejoice in those words. The God of Jacob. When we're conscious of the weight and the filth and the vileness and the shame of our sins, we ought to look up and rejoice in the God of Jacob. When we feel our unworthiness, we ought to look up and thank the God that there is the God of Jacob. When we fail, time and time again, someone says, I'm trying, but I just fail every single day. We all do. And if someone tells you they don't, they're either ignorant or lying one. We fail every day. But there's hope, there's encouragement in the God of Jacob. He's suitable to failures. The God of Jacob. When we constantly revert back to who we are by nature, oh, we ought to look up and rejoice in the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's loving. He's long-suffering. He's compassionate toward unworthy sinners. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our protection. He's the place where the unworthy can hide. He's the place where we can find safety and provision. He's the place where we can quiet and fortify our minds. The God of Jacob. No matter what's going on, pause. And everyone that needs to do this, just calm down. Just pause. And meditate upon the glorious truth of the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. No wonder we read in Psalm 75 and 9, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. There's an awful lot of Jacob in every single one of us. In Psalm 81 and verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Psalm 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Ponder that name. It's one of the most glorious names of God that there is. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Worship Him. He's worthy. Exalt Him. Honor Him. Bow to Him. Sing to Him. The God of Jacob. Most importantly, live for Him. Live for Him. He's the one who transforms you. He's the one who can transform your loved ones. The God of Jacob. Don't give up. Don't give up on that one who's constantly failing, constantly reverting back. Don't give up. Because there's the God of Jacob. And He specializes in failures. He specializes in messes. The God of Jacob. I'm glad tonight that I know the God of Jacob. Oh, how we ought to praise Him. The God of Jacob. May we leave here tonight and ponder that name. God of Jacob. Brother Larry, if you'd come and